This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
What's the reason to duck? It's here. There's no reason to duck.
With your hosts, Dan Wiederer and Mark Grody.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
We have a huge show today on Take the North, along with Dan Wiederer from the Chicago Tribune and frequent score contributor. I am Mark Grody of Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Dan and I both cover the Bears every day of our lives. We get to present this podcast to you, which is very nice. Dan, I love what we're doing today. It's one of our special editions of Listen to This, because we hear stuff throughout the week. We hear stuff at Alice Hall. We hear stuff on The Score. We hear stuff from other sources. And then we like to, every once in a while, do an episode where we bring you what we think is the most intriguing, interesting, not always the most consequential, but at least interesting sound that we have collected throughout a week or 2 week period.
Yeah, there's always a lot to get to, a lot to interpret. And it's fun to kind of listen to some other audio that we haven't really spent a lot of time on. And so we will do so today. With the Chicago Cubs at 0-2.
That's so funny you say that. I was like, do I mention the Cubs today? Do we need to intertwine those two?
Still winless.
You just done did it. Yeah, yeah. It's not good when your two top pitchers in your starting rotation, you don't win on their watches. Shota looked good. Justin Steele did not look good. There is your Cubs talk for the day today, Dan, unless there's anything else you'd like to add, right?
Yeah, this is really just like a tack on when we were talking a couple weeks ago about whether the forecast of the Cubs being good this year are legitimate or not. And this is exactly the kind of series where you're like, no, I don't know if they're good enough to beat good teams.
Well, it is the Dodgers. Dodgers who are extraordinarily good. So we shall see. I like the idea, though. A lot of people are poo-pooing the idea. Oh, now they go back and it's spring training. It's weird. No, it's weird. Good. Get back to the basics, man. Take more ground balls. You know, I mean, I saw some errors in that first game.
And then they're going right over to Arizona to play the Diamondbacks, I believe, is their first domestic game of the season. And so it'll be an interesting couple weeks. But anyway, that's not why these people are here. I just needed to get that off my chest.
No, it's good, Dan. You know what I'm going to call that? A false start. A false start for the Cubs and maybe even for the Take the North podcast.
Perfect.
No,
we'll
this
work
is
on
beautiful.
That. We'll get that cleaned up.
No need to clean it up. That's the beauty of a podcast. We can veer to any direction we want, but we know our listeners and our viewers want Bears. So let's get to listen to this here on the Take the North podcast. I will start today, Dan, something that I heard that I thought was really interesting occurred on The Score after all the press conferences. The Score, the afternoon show of Spiegel and Holmes, had the Bears' new center, Drew Dahlman, on. And just to set it up, and so there's no confusion, while they had Dahlman on, they played for Drew Dahlman some complimentary words from Olin Krutz, one of the best Bears centers in history. So I want you guys to listen to that, and then we'll react to what we heard from Olin Krutz talking about Drew Dahlman. Here it is.
We're learning, as everyone is that doesn't play football, about how important line play is and the intricacies of it. We're very lucky, Drew. Olin Krutz is one of our experts on this show. Like, he jumps on with us every week and he breaks down football with us. When it became apparent that you were a target for the Bears, this is what he said about you and why you're a good fit.
And then when he got the number one center on the market, Drew Dahlman, very consistent, good technique, good outside zone football player, has played with young quarterbacks, can get guys lined up, can get the call out, can do the job that he needs to do in the prime of his football career, guys, at 26. Really just coming into his own as a football player. Hopefully he keeps ascending under Coach Roshar. Dahlman is an outside zone guy, so I haven't watched all his film yet, haven't seen him do a lot of pulling, but I'm sure he can. I'm sure he can pull if he needs to pull. He looks like that kind of athletic center, being a guy who can get on a second level. Down there with the Denver Broncos, Tom Nalen was their center. Reminds me a lot of Drew Dahlman, guys.
So, look, Olin's our guy, and so we pretty much take anything that he says about center play as gospel. So to hear him talk about you that way was really exciting. Was his scouting report spot on?
He's the expert here, so definitely. I have a hard time saying, you know, I have anything figured out. So I feel like I always have room to improve. But yeah, definitely. I love the outside zone game, and I love some of the other wrinkles that sound like they're coming. I think it'll play to my strengths, and hopefully it'll be able to help us win.
I just don't know if he's a bit overwhelmed by all the praise that Olin Krutz applied to him, or if he doesn't agree. He's like, I'm not good at outside zone. I don't know about my technique. I can't get the call off. What did you think about that, Dan? I just thought that was pretty interesting to hear Olin Krutz talking about Drew Dahlman.
Well, it was cool to hear both centers kind of go back and forth there in an indirect way. I think what we learned in our first interactions with Drew Dahlman last week is that he is a more reserved, humble guy. And doesn't like to shower in the attention that he's been getting. I think he's been like a welcomed hero to Chicago, which I don't think we would have ever thought a free agent center would get this kind of celebration in town. And I think he's kind of wide-eyed about the whole experience of coming to a passion-filled football city that is greeting his arrival with like almost a parade. And so I think he's getting his feet on the ground here a little bit, and obviously he's got some strengths there that Olin documented, and the Bears are hoping all those things pay off the way they invested in him.
That's such a great point. I guess I hadn't had it in the back of my head that how wild this is, even to a certain degree for Joe Tooney, like just the celebration that these offensive linemen are getting. They are there with all their families. And I do like to watch, like I was watching people, like family members, like Dahlman's girlfriend is watching, and she just is looking at him adoringly, because this is like this big deal because they're offensive linemen. And like you said, we're having a party for these guys.
Right. And those introductory press conferences that we had last week were new for us in terms of the fact that we did them downstairs at the PNC Center in a much bigger space setting. So it feels bigger, right? It's not just the usual press conference room that we're in at Halas Hall, where we usually greet the new free agent arrival. So it's the same place that they introduced Ben Johnson in. And so you're in here and you feel like there is some pomp and circumstance to the whole thing. And obviously I think these guys understand why they're here. I think they understand the scars of the city that they've just arrived in. And now it's all about kind of just getting acclimated and figuring out how they can make their best impact quickly so that the hero's welcome can be followed by a celebration in season.
No doubt. Alamide Zaccheaus is one of the Bears' new wide receivers. And Dan, you heard something that caught your attention. Share with the class, as our friend Steve Rosenblum would say.
I was just going to say, you sound like Rosie there, teammate of both of ours in the past. Yeah. And so, look, like Alamide Zaccheaus is experienced a little bit of deja vu all over again. A year ago, he was setting foot in a new football city that had been lost in the wilderness for a long time in Washington. He was setting foot in an organization that had changed head coaches and was trying to get things started with Dan Quinn as their new head coach. He was setting foot in an organization that had invested a lot in a young quarterback that they believed to be the future. And Jaden Daniels, pretty cool experience in 2024 for Olamide Zaccheaus. Obviously, he comes here now, new team in Chicago, new coach in Ben Johnson, young promising quarterback in Caleb Williams. And so there's some perspective here of what he experienced last year and how it might be able to be applicable to Chicago in 2025. But he talked a little bit, Grody, the other day about why the Commanders were able to break through the way they were. And here's a little bit of that exchange with Olamide Zaccheaus.
So the biggest thing is just the connection. You know, that was one thing that, you know, prided ourselves on doing, just being able to connect as quick as possible. And that's how you really take off. So the connection throughout the building, not just from player to player, player to coach, coach to players, like media team to player, player to chef, training room, everybody in the building has to connect as fast as possible. And then, you know, we'll see where that takes us. But that puts you in the best position to be able to have success.
I'll get back to that whole media team to player connection here thing here in a second, because that's notable for you and I in a lot of ways. But interesting insight, right? Like the connection piece was something that really resonated with Zaccheaus in Washington. You hear him talk about the number of different connections that had to be made inside that building to get things going. The Commanders obviously had a dream season. They fell, you know, one game short of the Super Bowl. But given where they were coming from, that was an unreal year to experience and put them on the right track. And so you hope some of Zaccheaus' experience there can translate and really help the Bears understand what connection looks like. And then that's on the field, it's off the field, it's in every room of your building. How does that foster and stimulate success? We'll circle back to that media piece in a second, but what did you think of what you heard there from OZ?
Yeah, well, I think with so much of this, like I want to hear people talking about Caleb Williams like Olamide Zaccheaus has. I want to see that success actually occur with the Bears. So I think it's great. I think it's great that there is an example in the NFL of a quarterback in Caleb's class that thrived. And, you know, there are some reasons why there was so much success in Washington and not with the Bears. But that's what I want to start to hear people talk about Caleb Williams and the success in Chicago, the way they talk about the success in DC. And I got to be honest with you, part of me, Dan, like it's just, again, it's the NFL with so many of these guys that the Bears have signed, Tooney, Jonah Jackson, Dio Odangba, all these guys, it's almost NFL displacement. I'm sure Zaccheaus would probably have preferred to continue his life with Jaden Daniels and continue that development, but things happen, and the Bears have been the beneficiary of the NFL happening this year. They have won the system this year, the Bears.
Yeah, and Zaccheaus will be his, the Bears will be his fourth team in four seasons. He went from Atlanta to Philadelphia to Washington, here to Chicago. He had also talked in that interview a little bit about how there was a throw in OTAs last year that really made his jaw drop with Jaden Daniels. But more than anything, you got a sense early on that Jaden Daniels didn't carry himself like a rookie. He wasn't wide-eyed. He wasn't struggling through some of the NFL grind the way rookie quarterbacks often do. And so that's something that you hope in year two, Caleb can emanate as well, that he feels comfortable, that he feels in control of everything, that everything is calmer around him, which will then make him a little bit more calmer, comfortable, and confident. And so we'll see where he goes with that. But what
you don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What do you make of the media piece? Because that was him offering that up, that you need to have connection between media team and player. And I do think about that in a market like Chicago. I've told for years a story of the 2019 Bears and being in training camp in Bourbonnais and seeing the attention avalanche that was on that team and them being almost exhausted by it by like the first week of August and really having some alarm bells. Rich Campbell and I going like, this is going to be rough if they're already burned out by media attention, you know, 5 weeks before the regular season begins. And I do think that there is something, particularly with a team like this, that is now going to be one of the teams going into the 2025 season, of having that part of their life kind of in order, right? Like so that it doesn't create extra stress or bandwidth strain or whatever you want to call it. I just curious what you think.
Well, it's funny. It's interesting. I'm a little conflicted on this one, Dan, because I thought the relationship, believe it or not, with media and players was really good in that locker room last year too. Now, there were a lot of issues in the locker room, it felt like, because of the coaching staff. But I thought that there was, you know, of course, there's always going to be the testy moments, but with people like Mercedes Lewis and Jalen Johnson speaking truths, Kevin Byard. You and I had a talk with him when the bleep was hitting the fan. So I thought that there was sort of a good relationship in that regard with the media last year. I'll never forget, I've told the story on the podcast and I think on the air, Dan, going up to Kyler Gordon and just kind of saying, hey, what's going on, man? What's up? What do you got? What do you got for me? And him saying, I think you guys know everything. So I don't know, Dan. I don't know if you were thinking like a different relationship, but I felt like there was a pretty good relationship with media and players last year, believe it or not.
This is more how I look at it, and this is why I love doing this segment, because it can steer us down a path that we weren't necessarily predicting when we sat down. But yeah. Like there, you know, the number of guys in that locker room that kind of duck out and don't make themselves available, particularly when times get rough. And I do think that has to be something that comes from the top. I'm not talking necessarily like, you know, us in the media as much as the people in the Bears organization that control that element of the program. Right. And so like Cole Kmet won the Jeff Dickerson Good Guy Award last winter, because after every single game, he stood in front of his locker, whether they beat the Jaguars by 30 in London or lost on a Hail Mary. He stood up, took questions, and understood that it's written into his contract to be a professional and handle that part of the job, which is required. Guys are supposed to be available every day. There's supposed to be two guys on every team, a quarterback and someone else that only has to speak to the media once a week. And you know as well as I do that hasn't been the status quo at Halas Hall for a long time. And I think it's something that Grady Jarrett said last week, where he said, you know, how you do one thing is how you do everything. And I do think that when you talk about building culture, when you talk about accountability, when you talk about doing things the right way, I think about that with Grady Jarrett saying how you do one thing is how you do everything. You have to approach all of these things with accountability and professionalism if you want to be a champion. And I think the Bears sometimes, and I know most people in the world are probably rolling their eyes at this right now because they don't give two bleeps about our job or what we really do. But I do think that this is part of becoming a championship organization, is having all your ducks in a row, no matter what you're talking about, and being Rich Campbell and I used to always talk about loose bolts, right? Like tighten every single bolt in your building, and all of a sudden you'll have a ship that doesn't get rickety when you hit stormy seas, you know? And so like, I don't know, just.
No, it's actually, I see what you're saying now more, Dan. I kind of had the wrong impression, and you're right. Those are two good separate topics. The players that spoke to us last year were great. It was quality over quantity. You're right. There was many times where key players.
Like, when's the last time you heard from Montez Sweat?
So that's the guy that I was thinking about. Like, and it almost became a joke towards the end of the season. We thought, hey, was Montez available? I don't know. Maybe not.
When's the last time Captain Tremaine Edmonds held a session by his locker? And I like Tremaine. Really good dude. Even on locker cleanout day, I got in there first and I said, Tremaine, you got a second? He's looking over his shoulder to see if the rest of the horde is coming. He's like, I can give you like 32 seconds, you know? And we talked for like 29 seconds and he was off, for the offseason. And those are things where I'm like, well, wait a second. Like, there is more to this.
Right.
And if you really want to be the team that you guys think you can be, there are elements you have to take care of that have more to do with X's and O's and meetings and practices.
It's a huge part of being a professional team is not taking the foot off the gas pedal in terms of player availability and being in front of your, because it would be very easy. It would be, and I understand it. Like if you've lost 10 in a row, I don't know how much I would want to be standing out in front of my locker every Wednesday and Thursday when 30 media members come in. But to your point, Dan, that's the job. And guess what? It makes you look a lot better when you're talking to the people.
And this is Chicago, right? Like, it's a huge market. And you know what happens when the locker room opens. There's a lot of people that come in. And I think the guys that lean into that and get comfortable with that quickly are the guys that you know, avoid the anxiety of the whole process, which I don't think anybody really needs anyway. That's a little bit of an aside, but
I like that.
A little spinoff of the OZ comments there.
See, this is what the offseason allows us to do. Just kind of sit back, relax, and see what topics organically can come up here on Take the North. But let's go to another cut here on Listen to This on the Take the North podcast. Joe Tooney, as we have talked about many times, Dan, has worked with Tom Brady. He has worked with Patrick Mahomes. This guy comes in here. He's worked with all sorts of different types of guys.
Well, yeah, look, and like when you work with the two guys that are probably GOAT and GOAT 2, right?
Yeah.
Like you've got some insight and you've got some experience that you can draw on, particularly when you're starting to help a young quarterback like Caleb Williams understand what excellence in the NFL really looks like. And so I thought it was interesting to hear a little bit of Tooney's perspective on what that's allowed him to see. Here's some Joe Tooney for you.
Protected two of the best quarterbacks maybe ever. Coming into a situation where you've got a guy going into year two, are there things from Brady and Mahomes that you think you can teach Caleb that, you know, just, you know, what it's like to block for guys like that could help him in his trajectory?
Yeah, I mean, he's a great player, and, you know, just I've been fortunate to, you know, watch Tom and Pat and just be in the huddle with them and see how they, you know, approach the day-to-day, the boring things that seem boring and repetitious, but they still attack him with the same intensity, and, you know, they just know the playbook inside and out, and they really have such a passion for the game, and, you know, and I'm just excited to work with Caleb, and, you know, I've heard great things about him, and just ready to get going.
And I think, too, Dan, once these guys, once Drew Dolman, Joe Tooney, and Joan Jackson to a different degree all feel emboldened, once they feel like they've gotten the respect of their teammates, as they said would be their goal to begin the season, they will start. I hope they start to impose some of this on Caleb. If they see Caleb not comporting himself the way that, and I realize that that's a lot to look up to in terms of Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, but there are little concrete, even physical things that I think that they would be able to look at and say, Tooney, and be like, hey, here's, you might want to try this.
Look, like I sometimes play professional athlete cuts for the youth baseball team I coach for my son. And this Joe Tooney cut might be one that I bring them here in the next few months, because there was a few things in there that really resonated with me. Number one, do you have the passion, right? Like, I think we would both agree Caleb Williams has the passion. Now it's all about funneling that in the right direction every single day to get better results. Two of the things that Tooney said in there were, Brady and Mahomes doing the boring and repetitive things with great intensity, right? Like that's one that you could put on a little plaque and give to every 12-year-old in your orbit and say, hey, do the boring and repetitive things with great intensity, and you'll see the results. Maybe not as good as Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes have,
maybe,
but you'll start to see results, yeah, right? Like it's a way of living. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough throughout my time covering the NFL to have a lot of coaches describe to me the prerequisites of the quarterback lifestyle, you know, and the grind that is. If you truly want to be great, like, this is next level, almost psychopathic, you know, craving for improvement every day. And that's what Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady showed to Joe Tooney, is that it just, like, no task is too small to invest in. And so the other thing you heard in there was just them having an in and out understanding of the playbook, full knowledge and mastery of what the offense is asking, you know, and that's it for Caleb Williams in year two. You have to unite with Ben Johnson and JT Barrett and whoever else is going to be your ear and have the full mastery of what they want you to do and what they want the other 10 guys on the field with you to do. It's the only way you're going to get the results that you desire. And it does require a grind-filled effort, you know, to go through the boring and repetitive things with great intensity.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. Like Ben Johnson said,
why would you want it to be easy, Grody?
By the way, some people play.
I saw you jump there.
Yeah, you woke me up a little bit. Some people, by the way, use Martin Luther King or JFK to inspire. Dan Wiederer uses Joe Tooney to inspire the kids. Kids, you're going to hear from an offensive guard today. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Walter Payton or something? No, it's old Joe Tooney.
Yeah. That's all right. They will understand. And then Coach Dan has different, you know, listen, the kids tune out Coach Dan too quickly. Oh. So now I've got to find other voices. So if it's Bryce Harper, if it's Joe Tooney, if it's Tom Brady, if it's Kobe, you know, like you got to speak their language somehow. And Coach Dan at this stage doesn't always speak their
language. Maybe you got to do what the Bears do, like bring a Charles Tillman out there to talk to the kids. And come on, Dan, use some of that power. I don't know, man. You're following the reporter, you know, handbook too closely by not fraternizing with these players outside of work. I don't know.
Yeah, well, we'll figure out some method to getting results, because this is really important stuff, and it's going to get really, really important when the calendar flips to April.
Amen. All right, we have one more cut here on Listen to This and Take the North. This is one that I have not heard, Dan, so I'm going to just let you set it up. Brett Venables, tell us more about Brett Venables.
Brett Venables is the current head coach at Oklahoma. He was Grady Jarrett's coach in college at Clemson, coached him on the defensive line. Also has a history with Tommy Harris back in the day at Oklahoma. Okay. So he's got a pretty firm understanding of what a dominant three tech defensive tackle can look like. A lot of positive things to say about Grady Jarrett. Having coached Tommy Harris, having coached Christian Wilkins, he listed Grady Jarrett as either the number one or number two player that he's ever been around. But he also just kind of described the man and the approach that Grady Jarrett brings. I don't think anything you're about to hear is going to surprise you after having met Grady Jarrett last week. But here's Brent Venables' impressions of a player that he's obviously very fond of.
He lives with a fourth and one mindset. And I think probably his best quality that he had as a player is he was a multiplier. He just made everybody around him better through how he led, his focus, his intensity, his passion for the game. He wouldn't be afraid to call a brother out, but there's probably his best qualities. He would call him up. But he's a doer, and he's a worker. And just, he has a relentlessness that, man, it's hard to put a value on.
I just love that. Yeah. Lives with a fourth and one mindset, right?
Like, yeah.
You can put yourself in that headspace, right? And like, everything requires urgency on fourth and one, you know, and you kind of felt that, like, Grady Jarrett, like, energized that room last week when we met him, so much so that I feel like a day later, Ryan Poles was still like immensely amused by the way the program went with Grady Jarrett, because the enthusiasm was so infectious and it was so, it took the room over. And you would expect that would happen in the defensive line room. You would expect that would happen in the defensive room. And then ultimately you want that to kind of filter through your locker room, right?
I can't wait for training camp now that I think about this, Dan, like with Grady Jarrett and hopefully a healthy Andrew Billings, who he does the yelling on the line, right? Isn't it Billings that does the shouting? Oh, yeah. Which is legal,
the snap count, right?
Snap count, right? Exactly. So Billings and Jarrett, like the kind of the boisterousness of those two guys. And I keep thinking in my head, man, I do wish the Bears had Grady Jarrett earlier on. He can make a big impact still at the age he is over the next 2 years. I believe that, but man, I am jelly of Atlanta for having had this guy all those years. There's nothing like a mauler or a badass defensive lineman.
Yeah, and again, a tone setter, right? And we've been kind of begging for that for a little while, is just finding a tone setter that can make things happen. So it'll be interesting to see how he has an impact. You're going to feel his impact certainly in the offseason. And then the hope is that he's good enough on the field to continue having that impact when we get into September, October, November, December.
I have to say, that is all the sound that we have. I in my head just now, from now on, when we do versions of Listen to This, I have decided, I have failed in this episode. We should be having Grady Jarrett should always hear from Grady Jarrett just because of the things that he said. So I think that needs to, going forward, we have to have Grady Jarrett in this segment always.
And look, like, he may get sick of us, but I think that he's a guy you could go to on any topic, right? And just throw even some weird curveballs at him and get something that you're like, hell yeah, Grady, yeah, you know, riff on this.
Amen. Hey, mate, keep the dream alive. Maybe we get Grady Jarrett on the podcast. We'll see. We'll see as the offseason goes on. That is all we have here in terms of our Listen to This sound. I hope that you guys have enjoyed it always. You know that we appreciate you listening and subscribing and commenting and all of that stuff. So thank you so much to all of our Take the North listeners, our Take the North viewers as well.
Yeah, I've got two quick housekeeping things before we get out of here. Mecole Hardman, who we talked about on our last episode.
Yes.
A Green Bay Packer now. You know, yes. he was in conversations with the Bears, and he's going to join the division. He's going to go across the border to Wisconsin and play with the Packers. Another little shout out to a loyal listener and friend of mine since childhood. We call him Extreme Mike in my circle. He listened to the last episode and took great exception with the fact that I said that you could feel Ben Johnson's juice. And I got a text late after he listened to the episode and said, never use the phrase feel his juice again. And so I said, watch me. I think that's now going to become the catchphrase on Take the North. And, we're going to talk about feeling the juice as much as we want to. So sorry, Extreme Mike.
On an upcoming episode, we will have Dan specifically in paragraphs explain to us what that means exactly. So we will let him use all of his Dan words.
You know what? I'm gonna have Ben explain what it means, and then I'll bring you what Ben thinks it means.
Okay. No, that's a great idea.
And then we'll let Extreme Mike really know what feeling the juice is all about.
Extreme Mike, I love that name. I might change to a version of that as well. Extreme Mark, I like that. Again, thanks to everybody for listening. For Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune, our MVP, our leader here on Take the North. He's also a contributor on 670 The Score. You should listen to him whenever he is on. Our executive producer, Adam Stadzinski, who's in our downtown Chicago studios getting ready to produce the Bernstein and Harris show. The Bernstein and Harris show on The Score. So thanks everybody for listening and watching the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Grody. Talk to you guys later.
Great talk. See you later.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.